5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Trust in the Lord. You will only trust one thing. Psalm 20 and verse 9 says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses and in the multitude of their chariots and the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Hear me, O church. You can only trust one thing. Don't be self-deceived. God has instructed us. He has commanded us. He has shown us. God has upheld and proved his word and his promise from generation to generation. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. Some trust in the strength of their numbers, the power of their forces. Some trust in their lawyer, their financial advisor, their insurance agent, their money, their physical strength, their charm, their quick words. This world offers strength, but it lies. This world can only offer temporary substitutes for strength. And that is why we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Thank you. I wonder though, do you know his name? His names, I should say. His names are wonderful. There's that old hymn, "There have been names that I love to hear." I actually have on my ringtone for Mary, okay, is a country song, and it says, "I love the sound of your name," right? So every time Mary calls me, then my phone breaks in a song, and it says, "I love the sound of your name," right? And I do. But there have been many names that I love to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It is the name that saved me from sin and degradation. Well, I wonder, do you know his names? In the Old Testament, he is called El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God, El Olam, the Everlasting God, Adonai, the Lord Master, Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, my flag or captain, Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Mikadishkim, the Lord who sanctifies, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts and armies. Glory to God. He is wonderful. In the New Testament, Jesus is called our advocate, the Lamb of God, the resurrection and the life, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, the judge, the Lord of lords, the Holy One, the image of the invisible God, the light of the world, the head of the church, and the man of sorrows. He's called the faithful and true witness, our high priest, our rock, our beloved. Somebody say amen. The door, the living water, the bread of life, the true vine, and the word. He's called the Messiah, the branch of David, the good shepherd, the chief cornerstone, the rose of Sharon, and the Alpha and Omega. He's called the servant, the prophet, the redeemer, the anchor, the master, the teacher, and the mediator. The Savior, the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, the Almighty, the Prince of Peace, the Bridegroom, the Everlasting Father, the Author and Finisher of our faith, and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's also called the Only Begotten Son, the Son of Man, the Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, Dayspring, the Bright and Morning Star, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He calls himself the I Am and the Amen. Jesus is the Christ. Proverbs 3:5 says this, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't trust a crutch that can't hold you up. It'll pierce your hand and you shall fall down. I'm 60 years old and the end of my career approaches. If the Lord wills and gives me strength and health, I'll yet minister for another 5, 10, maybe 15 years. But there is more behind me than there is in front of me. And one thing that I know for sure, too soon old, too late smart. Okay? You don't have enough time to learn things in the normal way. By the time you've got the job figured out, the task is done. If you lean on your own understanding, you will always be a day late and a dollar short. Don't lean on your insufficient understanding, but lean on the Lord, who knows the beginning from the end. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. If you will submit, is there anything harder in the world for the unredeemed heart than to submit? It begins in infancy and continues to the grave. We fight it with all of our strength. We strive, we strain, we work, we save, we plan, we scheme, all so that we can be independent, that we would not need to submit to anything or anyone. But only if, only when we submit all our ways to him, then he is able to make our paths straight. You don't know the way, and you don't know the method. His ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. You complain, I don't understand what God's doing or what he's asking. But you're not God, and you can't understand his ways ahead of time. You must trust and obey, for there is no other way. Yes, trust God. Does he know? Does he care? Does he have my best interest at heart? Can you trust God? Can you trust God? You can. He is all that your heart could desire in a Savior. Do not judge God's ways. Do not judge the ways and the means of the Savior. The book of Job tells about his journey through crisis. Job, in the middle of his distress, in the middle of his crisis, when all had been taken from him, when he could not understand and he could not hear God's voice, yet he would not curse God. He only yearned to hear God's explanation, as does every servant of God in distress. But this is what he said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Trust is the central issue. Trust is the central issue. Trusting God is the watershed issue of your life. It does determine which way you will turn. Do you know what a watershed is? It's kind of a geographical term. It describes a point where if you stood at the watershed with two glasses of water and you held them out and you pour them both out, those are going to go in different directions. Okay? You can literally stand in one point, pour out two glasses of water. All right? One's going to go to Hudson's Bay and the other's going to go to the Atlantic. You can stand in another place. One's going to go to the Gulf of Mexico and the other one to the Atlantic. Or one's going to go to the Pacific and the other to the Arctic. That's the way a watershed works. Trust is the watershed issue of your life. You stand at that point. Which way will your life flow? To God and his ways or to your own ways? The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. When you stand at a watershed, you can't actually see the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Arctic or the Gulf of Mexico. You can't see any of those places. You're standing out in the middle of nowhere. You don't see any water at all. But for certain, it's going one way or the other. You have to trust the map maker. I remember driving out to Western Canada and seeing the little sign on the side of the road. This is the watershed. Okay, everything from this point here is going to Hudson's Bay. Everything that way going back through the Great Lakes, out to St. Lawrence, out to the Atlantic. And actually, not very far from there, okay, is where you can pour that water out. It's going to go down the Mississippi, down to the Gulf of Mexico. You can stand in one place, and that's all possible, but you can't see ahead. You can't see the end of it. Here's the promise of God, tried and tested by millions, generation after generation after generation, by every culture on every continent, and proven to be true. But will we trust him? We're just so self-sufficient. We're just so self-sufficient. With good friends and family for support, God feels kind of distant. And then God allows us to go through tests and trials. They're not random. They're meant to teach us and to prune us and to grow us into the image of Christ. But we fail to learn because instead of turning to the Lord and trusting him, we trust ourselves, our strength, our money, our intelligence. We trust our friends and our family. He wants us to learn how big he is and how small we are. But we squirm and wiggle and we miss the lesson. You can tell when you're not trusting God. Because when you're not trusting God, you behave in a certain way. Do you choose to worry, try to fix the impossible, hurry ahead or wait, stay awake, doubt the Bible, turn to people first, listen to human counsel, try to manipulate the circumstances, take charge before praying, study the issue looking for answers, but do not study the Bible looking for answers? Do you give more concern to your physical health than to your spiritual health? Do you pay greater attention to what you're eating than what's eating you? Do you spend more time running than kneeling? Will you trust him today? He's worthy of your complete and absolute trust. Remember, he's the faithful and the true witness, our high priest, our rock, and our beloved. He's the door and the living water, the bread of life and the true vine and the word. He's the Messiah, the good shepherd, the chief cornerstone and the rose of Sharon, the Alpha and Omega. He's both servant, prophet, redeemer, master, teacher, and mediator. King of kings, the Almighty, and the Prince of Peace. The Lord is completely trustworthy. And he calls us to do exactly that. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It takes faith to trust in the Lord. I can give you stories. I can tell you the many times when God has come through in my own personal life. When circumstances were dark, when it looked like there was no solution, I had a situation just in the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to go into all the details. I couldn't see any possible way the situation could be resolved, and God resolved it. And then I had to ask myself, so why was I worrying, and why did I get 2 nights of short sleep when the Lord came through? He's calling us to trust him, to trust him, to trust him with your crisis, to trust him with your family, to trust him with your finances, your career, to trust him with your reputation, and of course, to trust him for salvation. The Lord is calling us to trust him. And his promise is still sure. Solomon wrote Proverbs thousands of years ago. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He called out to people then, and the message is still here for us today. He will make your path straight if you will trust him. But Pastor, I don't know how am I going to make ends meet? But Pastor, I just got bad news from the doctor. But Pastor, somebody else got my promotion. But Pastor, my kids are gone off the the right track, and they look like they're heading full speed to run into a wall. How can I trust the Lord? How can I be at peace? How can I sleep at night when all these things are weighing on my heart? And I will answer you that trusting God is a choice and a decision. And when the fear and the anxiety comes back on you, you have to stand on the Word of God and say, no, but God has promised me that if I will trust Him, He will make my path straight. If I trust Him, He has my back. He has my life. We need Job's attitude. If He slays me, I will still trust Him. Job said, it doesn't matter the circumstances of my life, my confidence is still in God. And when the clouds are gathering and the storms coming in, I'm not going to lose heart. My eyes are not on the circumstances, my eyes are on the Lord. I'm reminded of the story of Peter walking on the water. The middle of the storm, there was Jesus. I like Peter. He was audacious. He was courageous. He said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come and walk. Now, I mean, I got to tell you, the thought that comes to my mind is, well, what if it wasn't Jesus and He told you to come and walk? But anyway, Jesus said, come, and he got out. And it says, when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the storm, he began to sink. I think you know the lesson or the analogy that is there for us. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and start examining the problem, we begin to sink. Anxiety starts to crowd in. Doubt starts to crowd in. Depression starts to overwhelm us. David said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord, He's our banner. He's our tower. He's our strong fortress. And we stand in the middle of that trial. And our lives bring glory to God. Interesting to hear Kanye West say, well, you know, if I had just had this beautiful life and then followed God, people would go, oh, that's interesting. But because I went through a hard time and followed God, then people go, oh, now that's something worth taking note of. No one's amazed. If your life is beautiful, nobody's amazed when you say, well, I love the Lord. And they go, yeah, life's good for you. But when your life is in trouble, and you can say, and yet I will still love the Lord. When there's grief coming in and heartache coming in, you say, and yet I will trust the Lord. We had one man come here, and he'd been raised with a Christian grandmother. She prayed for him all his life. And yet he had never decided to follow God. And after she had passed away, and decades after she had passed away, he came here and he heard the gospel and he knelt and he asked the Lord to forgive him and receive him. And of course, God did. And that grandmother, I mean, I don't know, perhaps from heaven, she got some sort of, you know, maybe she got the memo or the, you know, or the fact saying, you know what, your prayer's finally been answered. But she didn't see it in her lifetime. Like Abraham. Abraham did not see all the promises fulfilled in his lifetime, but he didn't doubt God. And it says that God counted it to him as righteousness. Will we believe God? Will we trust God? If He doesn't answer this week, or perhaps not next week, or maybe not next year. But will we settle the issue? Will we settle the issue in our hearts? I choose to trust the Lord and believe His word. The Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. Some things take a long, long time to come to fruition. And some things you may not even see in your lifetime. Yet we don't need to fear and lose hope and lose heart, because we can trust in the Lord. So I challenge you today. I challenge you today to settle the issue. Perhaps you already did settle the issue once for yourself before, but I can't challenge you to settle it again. I am going to trust the Lord. I'm going to stop trying to manipulate the situation. I'm going to stop trying to figure it all out. I'm going to pray and believe that God will answer. I will trust the Lord, and I will take the steps that He directs me to take. I know in my own life, very often, you know, the step I take in faith, not knowing, the only confidence I have is that God's looking after me. Only afterwards I look back and I go, oh, yes, of course, that was obvious. Obvious in retrospect. But when you're moving forward, it's not always obvious when you're looking ahead. So I challenge you, settle the issue today in your heart. Let's pray. Father God, you have challenged us to trust you, to believe you, to take you at your word, to stand on the promises of your word. And Lord, we accept that challenge. Lord, we're going to settle this in our hearts once and for all, that we will trust you. Trust in you, O God. Father, we don't want to be idle. We don't want to be lazy. But Lord God, we don't want to do anything that you haven't directed us. And so, Father God, we will trust you and ask you for your guidance. Lord, we're giving the steering wheel to you, as it were. Take over, Lord, and drive my life. We're standing at the watershed, Lord, and we want to pour out our cup on the side that goes to heaven, on the side that flows into your will and your kingdom. Father, we ask you, take our feeble attempts, Lord. We know we're not strong enough, Lord. We're not wise enough or smart enough, Lord. We're insufficient. But Lord God, we come to you and we lay out our life and we say, Lord God, we're going to trust you. Help us, Lord God. Help us, because we can't do it on our own. And we pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus.